on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, thousands of people have attended the funerals of the four young men who died in a crash in Gortahork on Sunday. The Seanad has heard that two organisations in Donegal which provide vital services for children with intellectual disabilities are being taken for granted by the HSC and the government. Meanwhile, a Donegal GP believes delays in GP surgeries are set to worsen, and Gardaí have issued a warning over a rise in cold collars. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. First in news, the final funeral following Sunday's crash near Gortahork has heard how cars can be a lethal weapon and that people must take care on the roads. 23-year-old Daniel Scott was the last of four childhood friends to be buried following the tragedy. Donal Kavanagh has more.
West Donegal came to a virtual standstill today as the friends were buried in four separate funerals, each service a poignant reminder of the regard they were held in their communities. GAA clubs and other organisations formed guards of honour as people from Gwydir, the Rosses and Clonmany were joined by those who came home from as far away as Australia and Canada to say farewell to their friends. This afternoon saw the funerals of Daniel Scott and John Harley, while this morning Micheál Rorty and Sean Harkin were laid to rest. This morning at Sean Harkin's funeral, Father Sean O'Gallagher told mourners the friends were taken in the prime of their lives.
From break of dawn until the sun sets low, we say farewell to our many young men of 20, our fine four young men snatched from us in the prime of life and the bloom of their youth.
At John Harley's funeral this afternoon, Father James Gillespie spoke of going to the family home just hours after the news broke.
I arrived to a house in tears and shock and disbelief, numb with what has just unfolded for them. The silence in that kitchen was deep. Very little was being said, and what could be said? No one had words.
Each of the funerals reflected on the impact the men's deaths have had on West Donegal and further afield, and also on the response of the local community. That response was acknowledged earlier by Father Sean Gallagher.
We are all swamped by sorrow and grief, engulfed at the same time by tremendous love and support, which has been so evident for the past week.
Talks between the HSC and nursing unions to plan for next week's strike action are underway. While no contact has been made today between the sides on resolving their dispute, contingency teams are meeting to try reduce the impact of industrial action on patients. A further 25,000 medical appointments are expected to be cancelled when the INMO mounts another strike on Tuesday. Separately, 6,000 members of the Psychiatric Nurses Association have begun an overtime ban, which continues until next Thursday. Bernard Gloucester, Chief Officer for HSE Midwest, says emergency planning for strikes is continuing.
That was a three-week process in relation to yesterday's strike. It was this week's focus in relation to the P&A action this morning of the removal of cooperation with overtime services. And again this evening with both unions, there would be extensive discussions as to the next level of exemptions that we can secure to continue to provide the safest level of service possible in light of the action that we know we're facing next week.
Meanwhile, a Donegal GP believes delays in GP surgeries are set to worsen. Dr. James McDade, a former TD and government minister, says government policy is putting further pressure on GPs. While he supported the extension of free GP services to under sixes, he says it has put extra strain on the system. Dr. McDade says the primary care model, which was intended to allow more to be done in GP surgeries, has not been properly resourced, and rather than GP surgeries becoming alternatives to emergency departments, some tests have been withdrawn from them. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Dr. McDade says there is no apparent solution being offered to ease any pressure.
In my experience, both in politics and in medicine, in general, anything that's brought in, anything that is free tends to be actually accessed when sometimes the necessity is not actually there. The figures in that particular area, as in some other areas as well, they have actually dramatically increased. Invariably, therefore, you are running behind time. and invariably this has led to a waiting list. I can see the time coming shortly when you will actually wait for a week to see a GP. I have no doubt whatsoever that that's going to happen. And you have the nurses that are out on strike. They're only part of the problem. They're only part of the primary care problem that has evolved, because primary care was supposed to be the be-all and end-all of it, that everything would be seen, and we were the front line and so on and so forth. But unfortunately, that hasn't materialized because they have taken certain tests and certain investigations and different other things from the GP, and we were supposed to be the guardians of the gates of A&E departments. In other words, you know, you had to get past us to get to the A&E. But as I pointed out to you, when they remove certain facilities and add extra work on to you, then I'm afraid, you know, the situation is going to continue. There are less GPs going to be on the list, and at the same time, the overload is going to go on to the A&E departments, and the A&E departments are overloaded, and that's going to go back on to the nurses and the doctors that are up there. So there is a big, huge mass of trouble building up. There doesn't seem to be any solution to it.
And Seanad has heard that two organisations in Donegal which provide vital services for children with intellectual disabilities are being taken for granted by the HSE and the government. Neither iCare nor the Bluestacks Special Needs Foundation received any funding under the €16 million ability programme last year, and it had been hoped that following a major backlash that this would be addressed. The HSE, however, has yet to clarify if the two organisations will get any funding this year. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says both services relying totally on fundraising initiatives cannot be allowed to continue.
Both those organisations got some funding last year in response to that controversy, and we had hoped that they would have now a service level agreement with the HSE to have guaranteed funding so the families can have stability, know that they're going to have those supports, that the families who are in the committee of those organisations, many of them with children and young people with disabilities themselves, who are trying to cope, who are constantly doing fundraising, that will be brought to an end once and for all. But I have tried in the last week to get clarification from the HSE if that funding is provided. We were assured last year that it would be. And yet, as I stand here now, both those organisations, yet again, do not have clarification. So I'm asking, Leader, please, will you make contact with the Minister for Disability's office? He's very aware of these issues. And I will indeed, Cathaoirleach, with your permission, put forward a commencement for next week if I do not get clarification before then. We need clarification for these two organisations. You'll trust that they have got no funding. I'll wrap up with this. iCare have been 18 years in existence. They've funded entirely themselves, all sorts of fundraisers throughout the year. They cannot keep doing that. They've been taken for granted. They're providing a service that the HSE refer children and young people to them. The HSE don't provide the service, refer people to them, and then don't fund them. It's outrageous, and it has to stop. This has to be the last year that this goes on. So, Leader, I ask for your help and assistance with this issue.
A nationwide yellow snow ice warning has been extended until Sunday. Met Air now says the weather will continue to be very cold until Sunday, with severe frost at night and ice on untreated surfaces. Treacherous weather conditions are expected in parts of the country over the next few hours, with temperatures falling to as low as -6 degrees tonight in places. The national forecaster predicts there will be further wintry showers also this evening. Meteorologist Joanna Donnelly outlines the worst affected areas.
I think the south of the country has been worst affected in the last 24 hours. The north was affected earlier in the week. I think the south and the southeast are most likely looking at the most severe accumulations of snow.
In Donegal, the R230 Glengesh Road between Ardra and Glencolumbkill has been closed as a result of the adverse weather conditions. Donegal County Council is advising motorists to divert via the N56 Ardra to Killybegs Road and the R263 Killybegs to Glencolumbkill. Donegal County Council is to carry out an audit of all its housing stock to ensure that repairs are carried out promptly and all council properties are being maintained to the right standard. The issue was raised in Lifford this week by Councillor Kieran Brogan, who said a comprehensive painting and power washing scheme should also be introduced. He was told by officials that 200 council houses are included in a programme introduced last year with an initial focus on older people's homes. Councillor Brogan is welcoming that, but says that more staff and resources should be sought to ensure that everything necessary is identified and addressed.
I think it's vitally important that we engage with all our tenants, that we ensure that the level of service that the tenants require is adequate, to make sure that we have enough housing maintenance staff to meet the needs of our tenants. The council takes in over 12 million in income from our tenants. It's a huge level of income, and we need to make sure that we reinvest and maintain the properties we have. And if that means us maybe bringing on more staff in housing maintenance and employing more people to do liaison with the tenants, then that's something that I think we need to do.
Gardaí and Donegal have issued a warning over a rise in cold callers. It's reported that the criminals are targeting people living in rural areas, pressurising them into buying goods. Donegal Crime Prevention Officer Sergeant Paul Wallace says while Gardaí are monitoring the issue across the county, he's urging people to be on high alert.
These people go around and they have their homework done like all criminals, and they target people, particularly people living in isolated areas or people who are living alone or don't have neighbours around or maybe family members around close in close proximity. That's the first thing they do. And then they call in under the pretense of offering some service or whatever, and then very quickly it moves into that they have items to sell. And it's basically intimidation at a fairly high level and isolation. I suppose are the two big things. And we would see there in the national media, my own colleague, Tony Davis, who would be well known to people in the GAA world, Tony's Crime Prevention Officer in Cork, and there's fairly good illustrative pictures there of an elderly lady in Cork who ended up buying something like 10 chainsaws, 5 or 6, maybe 8 power washers, Kangol hammers, you know, stuff like that there. And that was these people who had targeted her, obviously knew that she had money. And kept coming back and coming back and intimidating various different levels and taking money off her. And there's a photograph there in a lot of the media over the last few days that really illustrates boxes. You would nearly think it was you went into a home base or somewhere like. It's coercion, it's intimidation, it's bullying, it's all of those things. And you have to think of somebody who's very, very vulnerable, and they feel, well, the only way I can get rid of these is to give them money and take whatever they're offering to me.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an additional 20% bonus on all Shop LK vouchers.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with rugby, and Joe Smith has opted to start Robbie Henshaw at fullback for Ireland's opening Six Nations game with England. His selection at 15 means that Gary Ringrose and Bundy Aki continue their successful autumn partnership in the centre. Josh Van de Fleer is preferred at open side to his Leinster teammate Sean O'Brien. With Jordan Larimer on the bench, there's no room in the match day 23 for Rob Kearney, who Smith says wasn't sharp enough to play this weekend. And John Cooney could make a first Six Nations appearance off the bench. Henshaw has only played once at fullback at international level, but the positional issue is not the chief concern for the Ireland head coach.
Rob ran out of time a little bit, and we like the flexibility of Jordan on the bench, covering a number of positions. It's one of those things that we've seen as an option for quite some time, so it's probably not as much of a surprise to Robbie or the team as it maybe is to other people.
For England, Manu Tuilagi, he makes his first start in the centre since 2014, while Owen Farrell has won his race to be fit, coming through a thumb injury to take his place at out half. Elsewhere, Ulster head coach Dan McFarlane has hailed the leadership qualities of his new signing, Sam Carter. The Australian international second row will join the province from Super Rugby side Brumbies in the summer. In Gaelic games, Donegal play Meath in the second of their Division 2 league games on Saturday evening at McCool Park. With a victory in Ennis under their belt, Donegal will look to maintain their winning start in Ballybofey. The game will be live here in Highland Radio from 6:45 on Saturday evening. Donegal are expected to field a similar side to that which started against Clare. Saturday's game will come too quick to see a return for Paddy McGrath and Owen McHugh. Just like Donegal, Meath started with a win last week. Here's the Donegal manager Declan Boner.
I suppose one thing about Mead, and the one thing that we, they're always a physical side, there's no doubt about that there, but I think they look to be well organised this season. A number of really, really good players. You look at the McEntees that are playing there at the minute, really good players, Mickey Newman and at full forward. You look at Graham Riley, Killian O'Sullivan, all good players, Donald Kogan, centre back. So they have a really good side. You look at them against Tipperary, who, you know, Tipperary are a decent side, there's no doubt about that there. But, you know, Mead in the last quarter pulled away 5 points to one and won the match in the end up by 4 points. So it was a really good performance from them. So we're looking forward to a really good test, and it's one that we need to be at our best for.
Yes, they'll need to be at their best, as I say. Coverage of that one on Saturday evening here in Highland Radio Sport. Moving on to soccer and some transfer news. Former Dundalk striker David McMillan is on the move. He's left St Johnstone for fellow Scottish Premiership side Hamilton on loan until the end of the season. McMillan scored twice in 12 league appearances this season, with the first of those goals ironically coming against Hamilton. And Republic of Ireland striker Scott Hogan, he's left Aston Villa for fellow Championship side Sheffield United on loan until the end of the season. Elsewhere, Arsenal, they've completed the deadline day loaning signing of Denis Suarez from Barcelona. The midfielder yesterday signed a contract extension at the Nou Camp to protect his market value. And Newcastle, they've broken their transfer record for the first time since 2005. They've completed the £20 million signing of Paraguayan midfielder Miguel Almiron from Atlanta United. Almiron's arrival follows the loan acquisition of Italian left-back Antonio Barreca from Monaco. And Marouane Fellaini, he's off to China. The Manchester United midfielder has agreed a deal with Shandong Luang. United have also handed a 5.5-year contract to Anthony Martial. In other news, Crystal Palace forward Wilfred Zaha, he's been charged with improper conduct by the Football Association. It's after he was sent off for sarcastically applauding the referee in their 1-1 Premier League draw with Southampton last night. Zaha has until 6 o'clock next Tuesday to appeal. In golf, on the European Tour this week, it's the Saudi International event taking place out in Saudi Arabia. Paul Dunne shot a 68 for 2 under par in the first round. He trails the first round leader Thomas Peters by 5 shots. Peters shot a 63 for 7 under par. He's 2 shots clear of 6 players. There's Xander Lombard, Renato Paratori, Alfie Plant, Ross Fisher, Justin Harding and Jake McLeod. They're all on 5 under par. In the PGA Tour this week, it's the Waste Management to Phoenix Open taking place in Scottsdale in Arizona. Seamus Power's off to a good start. He's on level par through the first 4 holes, but leading the way after 8 holes is Emiliano Grillo and Matt Kuchar. They're both on 4 under par. The local hero, Phil Mickelson, he tees off a little later. Finally, in boxing, Paddy Barnes, he'll box on the St Patrick's Day Bill featuring fellow Belfast man Michael Conlon at New York's Madison Square Garden. Flyweight Barnes is taking on American Oscar Moyeka. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, a Derry man has been handed a 3-year prison sentence today for possession of Class A drugs and possession of Class B and C drugs with intent to supply. The man was also convicted of assaulting police. Laura Donnelly has more.
A total sentence of 3 years imprisonment was handed down to the man from Derry, half to be served in custody and half on licence. And this follows a number of police searches between December 2016 and September 2017 in the city, where a quantity of drugs with a potential street value of over £8,000 were seized, including heroin, cocaine, cannabis, MDMA powder and other opioids. A quantity of cash and a range of benzodiazepines were also seized. In welcoming today's sentencing, Detective Inspector Tom McClure from the PSNI's Organised Crime Unit said, not only did this man possess a range of drugs which would have been destined for sale in the local community, these searches required considerable policing resource, particularly as opened fentanyl patches can be extremely dangerous to anyone who's exposed to them. He spoke of how drug dealers seek to make profit at the expense of causing harm and loss to local families. Detective McClure said the PSNI will continue to pursue those who are intent on supplying illegal drugs.
And finally, Donegal County Council is calling on Children's Minister Catherine Sapone to recognise the right of adopted people to information about their health, history and heritage. The letter to the Minister is on foot of a motion from Councillor Niamh Kennedy, who says over two referenda it is clear that the electorate favours such rights being recognised. However, she says at present the law only gives adoptees the right to apply for information. The issue was raised by Councillor Kennedy on behalf of the lobby group Ahantas. She says it's time these rights were recognised.
There's over 150,000 adoptees in Ireland that don't have the right to their own information on health, on their history. And Minister Sapone from her bill is saying that, you know, okay, we recognise that and you have a right to apply, but you won't get the information. So in this day and age, we feel it's very, very important for the adoptees. If they want to find out what their family history was, then it's time that they got that.
For weather now, cold this evening with outbreaks of rain and sleet in a few places and with snow mostly on high ground. Very cold overnight with further wintry falls and lowest temperatures of -2 to -6 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the final funeral following Sunday's crash near Gortahork has heard how cars can be a lethal weapon and that people must take care on the roads. 23-year-old Daniel Scott was the last of four childhood friends to be buried following the tragedy. A Donegal GP believes delays in GP surgeries are set to worsen. Dr. James McDade says while he supported the extension of free GP services to under sixes, he says it has put extra pressure on the system. The Seanad has heard that two organisations in Donegal which provide vital services for children with intellectual disabilities are being taken for granted by the HSC and the government. Neither iCare nor the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation received any funding under the €16 million ability programme last year, and it had been hoped that following a major backlash this would be addressed. And Gardaí in Donegal have issued a warning over a rise in cold callers. It's reported that the criminals are targeting people living in rural areas, pressurising them into buying goods. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 31st of January. The death has taken place at his home of Danny Reddy, Breda Glen, Moville. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The house is strictly private, please. All inquiries to Liam Collins, funeral director. The death has taken place of Annie Donaghy, name McCloskey, 100 Slochmanis Road, County Derry. Funeral from her home on Saturday morning at 10 to 12 for Requiem Mass at 12:30 in St Mary's Church, Tamnahirin, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice. The death has taken place of George O'Donnell, Upper Carnamugga, Mountain Top, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:20, going to St. Enan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the family plot at Newlech Cemetery. The house is private, please. The death has taken place of Breege McGeehan, name McGarry, late of Fintown Post Office, County Donegal. Her remains are reposing at her late residence in Fintown. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning in St. Columbkill's Chapel, Fintown, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Rosary tonight at 10 o'clock and tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, after the rosary until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Joe McLaughlin, Alec, Ballaghan, Greencastle. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired of mass cards and flowers to the Friends of Carndonagh Community Hospice, care of Liam Collins, funeral director, or any family member. The death has occurred of Michelle Gallagher, Ringsend, Dublin, and Core Point, Letchimic Ward. Her remains are reposing at Midlands Funeral Home with rosary at 9 p.m. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 11:30, going to St Bridget's Church, Letchermeck Ward, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by cremation at Lakeland Crematorium, Cavan, on Saturday, with service at 2 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Ross Stevenson, Bucht Road, Achnish, Rimelton. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral service in Rimelton Presbyterian Church tomorrow at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Rimelton. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to RNLI, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Brian Bonner, Shromarchin, Gwydor. His remains are reposing at Gwydor Funeral Home. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Coronary Care Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Colum Gillespie Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Harvey Mervyn, 9 Iona Terrace. His funeral will leave his late home tomorrow at 12 noon for service in All Saints Church, Cluny at 12:30, followed by burial in Killay Parish Church, Carrigans. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to All Saints Cluny Church, care of Mrs. Helen Henderson, 5 Manning Way, Londonderry. The death has occurred of Ina Sweeney, Legland, Drumkeen. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Kathleen's home at Strelongford. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, with interment afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Bridget Kane, Prucklish, Church Hill. Her remains are reposing at her niece Josie Burke's residence at Barracks, New Mills, Glenswilly. Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Glenswilly, at 12 noon tomorrow, followed by burial in Temple Douglas Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Charlie McLaverty, Funeral Director.